So we'll try to finish up this topic, if we can, today. Maybe just take a couple of minutes. It's a massive topic. It's very Shas important. But if not, we'll do another couple, try to get another couple of topics, and maybe I'll just do maybe Zenen of the Lochasek, one of some of the other big topics. Sroros, you know, to finish up. Because we've done samples of all the Avos Hazikin, because we've done, there's much more obviously on each one, but we've done some Keren and Shane and Regel and Bor and Adam Amazik, and now we're doing Aish and some other things that were along the way, but maybe we'll pick some other, you know, topics for the last two or three. Okay, so what we were discussing, what we're in the middle of, is the very fascinating Gemara here about Esho Mishum Chitzam Shum Amono. This is the Gemara on Chaf Beis Amud Aleph to Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. So again, I'm just going to pick up with the Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph for the moment, because that was a transition point. And we're in the middle of discussing Shitas HaRambam, but I just want to again remind everybody where we're at. So there's a debate between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish that we've been examining. On Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, when the Gemara introduces it, they introduce it as a mutually exclusive debate. Meaning Rabbi Yochanan rejects Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish rejects Rabbi Yochanan. Each one has a very distinctive view of Eish. Rabbi Yochanan's view is that Eish is Mishum Chitzav. Eish is like Chitzei HaAdam. It's like a bow and arrow. It's like, you know, shooting an arrow or throwing a stone. And the perspective of Reish Lakish is that Eish is Mishum Mamon. That we treat Eish like we treat other Niske Mamon. Namely, it's a damage, not that you did, but that was done by an it, you know, or by something else, but something that you are connected to. Usually that you own. I don't want to say the word own here, because I don't want to take stands between Rashi and Tosis, but basically a very different type of chiyuv mazik, nizke mamo. Okay. The problem with all of that is that Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish each present a very cogent reason to reject the other's position. Reish Lakish says about Rabbi Yochanan, listen, this isn't Chitzev Shel Adam, because Chitzev Shel Adam is really Koach Adam in a very kumvase positive way. In other words, I throw a stone, where that stone lands is typically, you know, completely a function of how much energy I invest in it, how far I throw it, how accurate I throw it, etc. Whereas when it comes to Eish, somebody typically, you know, starts a fire and then the fire spreads. The fuel spreads the fire, possibly the wind spreads the fire, and so on. And therefore, it's not exactly Chitzav Shel Adam. That's question number one. In addition to that, we had other problems with that, and that is that if you take Eishim Shum Chitzav literally, you just have to wonder why it sounds like it's Adam Amazik, and if it's Adam Amazik, then you have to wonder why it's not treated that way, you know, in the Mishnah, right? Mimanafshach. Either there's already Adam Amazik in the Mishnah, or Adam Amazik is excluded from the Mishnah because the Mishnah is only about Nizke Mamon. Either way, Eish being Adam Amazik would be a problem. And the Rishonim addressed this very, very explicitly. You know, in a couple of minutes, maybe we'll go back and see some of those Lishonos in the Rishonim and Dabbeis Amud Aleph. Okay. So we have some issues and some problems. Moreover, there might be other evidence that also implies that Eishem Shum Chitzav, that Rabbi Yochanan's view, is not exactly Adam Hamazik. For example, for the Rambam, who paskins Eishem Shum Chitzav, right, it's striking to know that while Eish is dealt with in the last chapter of Hilchos Nizkei Mamon, and Eishem Shum Chitzav, interestingly, and I think significantly, is only articulated in the second last halacha of Hilchos Nizkei Mamon, and I'll add, in the last possible halacha that it could have been formulated, because the last one is about the Tolda. In the end of the day, that's still very significant, because given the Rambam's classification scheme, which puts all of Adam Amazik and Hilchos Chovel, right, if Esho Mishum Chitzav really meant that Eish was Adam Amazik, then it should have been Hilchos Chovel. So you could put it at the very end you know, where there's no possible later point to put it in Niske Mamon, but he still put it in Niske Mamon, and surely that is significant. On the other side of it, Eshem Shemamono, so we have the debate between Rashi and Tosas, whether or not he has to be a real owner, or like Bor, we don't mean Mamono Bailus, we mean Mamono, meaning it's not you, it's some thing that you're connected to, but according to Tosas, connected to doesn't have to mean owned. That's a debate between Rashi and Tosas. But more importantly, is Rabbi Yochanan initially rejects Reish Lakish's yukah and says, that's a davar sheyesh bo mamish. A shor is a davar sheyesh bo mamish. A bor, Tosas discusses why, is a davar sheyesh bo mamish. But Eish is not really a davar sheyesh bo mamish. And therefore, you know, seeing it as Eishim Shemamono is a problem. Moreover, I'll add, and this might, you know, might not be such a question, but at least it's an important ahara, and that is that if you want to say in the end of the day that the animal, you know, did the damage, but you have to pay for the animal's damage, right, it's hard to say that about the Eish, right, because the Eish doesn't exist. It's Ein Bo Ruach Chaim. That's the whole point. It's Leis Bo Mashasha, it's Ein Bo Ruach Chaim. So that can make it more potent, it can make it less. As a mamono, it makes it less potent, put it that way. And therefore, there are problems on all sides. In addition to that, the Gemara goes on an expedition, right, to try to find proofs one way or another for Yochanan and Reish Lakish. That's what Gemaras do. Another way to look at the Shaka Vitaria is that the Gemara is putting its finger on or identifying nafkamina between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. And it finds a whole bunch of them. Number one, chitzav shel behema, right? What if an animal or a gamal, a dog or a gamal or any other animal starts a fire, right? The question of the owner's liability. So if Esho is Mishum Mamono and the animal started a fire with someone else's fire, then the owner of the animal should not be liable. Right, but if Esho is Mishum Chitzav, so it's Chitzav the Kalev, or Chitzav the Gamal, or Chitzav the Behema, and that should come under the rubric of what we call Tzroros. So that's one Nafkamina of the Gemara, in addition to the Rashi Tosfos argument. Then you have the other Nafkamina, where the Gemara seemingly suggests that Kamle Bit Rabba Mine is a Nafkamina. The Gemara says if the person burns, the Gaddish, and tied to the Gaddish is an Eved, and he kills the Eved, so he doesn't pay for the Gaddish or the Gedi that gets burned up as well because of, the Gemara doesn't say the words at that point, Kamlev Draba Mine, but it sounds, looks an awful lot. Well, the Rishonim understood that it was Kamlev Draba, we'll call it, with the possible exception of the Rambam, and certainly the Ran, and maybe Melville, but the simple reading of the Gemara, Kamlev Draba Mine. Again, the Gemara says this is an important nafkamina because if Adam is the roteach here, then it's kamlev draba mine. But if mamon is like a shor, when your shor kills somebody, there's no kamlev draba mine. So that's nafkamina number two of the Gemara, number three, according to Rashi and Tosfos. Then you had, in addition to that, what we call chitzav de cheresh. The Gemara says if you put a flame or a torch in the hands of a katan, so again, there's a debate, that happens to be another debate between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish in the Mishnah. And the Gemara here says it depends on the same issue, because if you consider Eish to be Mamono, so it's like handing over a shore to a Cheresh of a Katan. Namely, that's irresponsible, and therefore you have to pay for the damage that the shore does. So if you hand over an Eish to a Cheresh of a Katan, you should pay. However, if Eish is Mishum Chitzav, so then you're not paying for what the Eish did, you only pay if you did something yourself. But you didn't do anything. The katan or the cheresh or the shota did something, and they're not a bar chiyuva. So that is another nafkamina. Then the Gemara finally, after all of this, makes two comments. Number one, that the psukim in the Mishnah seem to support the position of Rabbi Yochanan, because the pasuk says, ki teitse eish, is at the bottom of chabes on beis, teitse me'atzma, he's called a mavir, even though it says kitetze eish. The beginning of the pasuk doesn't mention that he lit the fire, but he's called the igniter of the fire, right? Even though the fire just spread, right? So that's Rava's proof. That's the Mishnah's language, right? Tana, you know, pasach akra you know, b'nizkei mamon, v'siem b'nizkei guf. So again, the way that the Gemara seems originally to take it is, don't get fooled, don't be misled by the reisha kiteitzei eish, don't be misled by pasach rachmana b'nizkei mamon, zero in on what's really important, namely, nizkei gufo adam amaz. Everything changes, or maybe everything changes, on the top of Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, when the Gemara finally asks its big question. And that is, Amar Rava, Kasha Le'Labaya. We read this already, but this is what we were in the middle of analyzing. Amar Rava, Kasha Le'Labaya, L'man Dom Eishem Shemchitzav, Tomun Be'esh Depata Rachmana, Heichi Mishkach Asla. Namely, one of the primary peculiarities, but also, you know, famous characteristics of Eish, is the Petur Tamun, namely that if something is hidden inside, in other words, it wasn't galui, it wasn't revealed, it wasn't on the surface. If something is beneath the surface and it's not known that it's there, then you don't pay for that in Eish. That's the Petur of Tamun. So the Gemara basically said, the simple reading of the Gemara for now, is the Gemara says, well, I don't understand. If Eish is Mishum Chitzav, how will you ever have a Petur Tamun? We talked about three Perushim of what that might mean, but the simplest one is the more radical one, also, and that's the first one of Rashi, and that is, Adam HaMazik doesn't have a Petur Tamun. And if you hold Eish is Mishum Chitzav, then it's Adam HaMazik. So how do you explain Petur Tamun? So then, the Gemara came up with the following fascinating idea. The Gemara said that the case is a case where kolol chitzav, meaning the man started a fire, and that constitutes eshem shem chitzav, only as far as it is supposed to spread according to reasonable calculations at the time when he ignited the fire. Right? In other words, 10 a.m. I lit a fire, and according to the circumstances, it's supposed to go from destination A to destination B. Okay, and let's say, for example, just to make the case clearer, in case like the Gemara, and that is that at destination B, there is a fence. And the capacity of this fire, right, should not, all things being equal, extend beyond the fence. Lo and behold, the Hashgacha intervenes. The lightning strike takes out the fence before the Eish gets there. And now there's no longer a barrier right to this Eish. So the Eish is now going to spread beyond point B to point C. And between B and C, there's a lot of Nezek that's going to take place. So the Gemara says that's called Kol Lo Chitza. From a chitzav point of view, when he threw the arrow, when he lit the fire, it wasn't going to do that damage. Right? So the Gemara says, well, fine, then he should be patur. What does that have to do with tamun? Says the Gemara, no. What happened was, the wall came down, kalo chitzav, but there's still time for him to improvise. He could still contain this fire, but it requires of him a kumbase. He's got to do something. And he refuses. Right? Or he's too lazy, or whatever it is. And therefore, he, all things being equal, is responsible for the damage caused by the spread of the fire. But not the Torah's chitzav, but the Torah's mamono. The chiddush of the Gemara being that Rabbi Yochanan no longer is rejecting Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish is still rejecting Rabbi Yochanan, but Rabbi Yochanan is accepting that there is something called Eisha Mishum Amono. He just says there's Eisha Mishum Amono and there's Eisha Mishum Chitzav. So, where there's no longer Chitzav, you still apply Mamono, and there you have a Petur Tamun, Kalalo Chitzav. Where, of course, you have Chitzav and Mamono, you're going to be Machmir, according to the more Chamur of the two. That's the line in the Gemara, according to most Rishonim, that says as follows. So let's just look at the Gemara again very quickly. Kashele labaye leman damar eishem shemchitzav tamun be'eish to patur akmana eichem mishkacha. So how do you find tamun being patur if you hold eishem shemchitzav? Says the Gemara v'nichale. Right, it makes sense. Kagon shenafla dleika la osa chatzer. right? This fire spread. V'nafla gader shalom achmas leka. And the fire, I'm sorry, had nothing to do with the fact that the fence went down. The containment fence is no longer there. V'holcha, v'hidlika, v'hizika, v'chatzar cheres. And therefore the flame continued, right, in its path, without the containment, and burnt down somebody else's field. The hasam kololochitzav, that's called kololochitzav, his arrow is spent, right? Says the Gemari, hachelinyin galu inami, kololochitzav. If you only hold eshem shem chitzav and there's no chitzav, then he should be potter. Says the Gemara, elamand, islay mishum chitzav, islay nami mishum amono. Actually, Rabbi Yochanan, we're revising our view. We are thinking that Rabbi Yochanan thinks only chitzav. It's not true. He doesn't exclude mamono. And therefore, kagon shahi la lagadra v'la gadra. He could still build up a fence and contain it. He didn't. That's not chitzav, but it is mamono. Why is it mamono? The hasam shorohu v'lo tapach be'ape. It's like if you had an animal, you had a bull. Let's say the bull was contained, you know, in a fenced area, and then the fence fell down. Okay? But you could still put up a barrier to make sure that the bull doesn't go out and cause damage. You're still chayiv. Just because you put a fence up and it's not your fault that the fence fell down, if there's still time to compensate, right, and to contain, and you refuse to do that, you're chayiv. So you have this eish, it's called lochitzav, right? That's the past. Right now, there's still an ability to contain it. You don't, therefore you pay. But that's called eshem shemamono, and that is nitan to the din of tamun. Okay, so this is a very fascinating gemara. Then the gemara says, v'chim acher demand islay mishum chitzav, islay nam mishum amono. If you believe in both, my benayu, what's an afkamina? Says the gemara, ikim benayu l'chayva b'dal advarim. So on the surface, it seems like I lost track already. A fifth nafkamina in the Gemara? Right? The Gemara had kamle bedrabamine, chitzav shel cheresh, chitzav shel cheresh, chitzav shel behema, right? All these things. Tamun. And all of a sudden, the Gemara is another one. Chavala. Meaning, if your animal causes damage, assaults a person, damages a person, right, the owner doesn't pay nezek tzar ripui sheves nevoshes. Right, only pays nezek. But if it happens al yidei eish, according to the Madam or Mishum Chitzav, you'll pay. There's a debate whether you pay boshes or not. That's a debate. Okay. So this is fascinating. But what's fascinating about the Gemara is all the Rishonim ask the question, Rashi, Tosos, everybody else. Well, what happened all of a sudden? We spent a whole daf. We had 3-4 nafkaminas, and then the Gemara says, Ika benayu. Just because Rabbi Yochanan believes, now, Rabbi Yochanan, what changed? Rabbi Yochanan no longer thinks that Esho is only Mishum Chitzav. He's now more flexible, he's more expansive. He believes in Esho Mishum Amono and Esho Mishum Chitzav. That doesn't make there any less nafkamina, does it? I mean, what happened to Kamle Bedrama Mine? And what happened to Chitzav Shel Cheresh? Right? And what happened to Chitzav Shel Behema? It's still nafkamina. Why all of a sudden Kabbalah? So Rashi, Tosis, most of Rishonim who ask this question say, it's a strange Gemara in Achanami. The Gemara was looking for another nafkamina. Okay? But that's not so satisfying. Oh. So I think that there are two related ways, this is what I was saying at the end, and I want to pick up with it now, to suggest that what's happening in this Gemara is not a small revision, but a large one. One is, even if we read the Gemara mostly kipshuto, and that is that the Gemara's conclusion is that Rabbi Yochanan believes that there's Eshem Mishum Amono and Eshem Mishum Chitza, both. Okay, that's a simple reading of the Gemara. However, instead of saying, well, Rabbi Yochanan hasn't changed his mind about chitzav. He just thinks that, you know, leis be mashasha is not a reason to exclude eshem shumamona. Right? There are two dinim. That's the normal way that the Gemara would be read. Maybe the Chiddush would be to say that what the Gemara is telling us is, when we thought that Rabbi Yochanan was of the opinion that there's only one Eish, we thought that Eish basically is Chitzav Shalad. Now that we know that there are different forms of Eish, assuming those different forms are connected to each other, so we now understand that Eishim Shem Chitzav cannot be understood as Adam HaMazik, because the Mamono part is not Adam HaMazik. Before, when Rabbi Yochanan was saying there is no Eishim Shem Mamono, maybe what he was saying, it's because Leitzbe Mashasha, it doesn't fit in at all to the world of Nizke Mamon. All there can be is Adam HaMazik. Right? And maybe that's the reason that all the Nafka Minei, Kamavid Rabba Minei, Chitzav Shal Cheresh, you know, maybe Chitzav Shal Behema, all these things. Right? Because we're dealing with a real Koach. Even a Chitzav Shal Behema, I'll explain in a minute. Okay, fine. However, now that Rabbi Yochanan is acknowledging that there is in Eish, despite Leispe Mama Shasha, there's a Nizke Mamon component, maybe that causes him not only to be more expansive, meaning allowing for the consequences of Eishim Shumamono, but maybe it forces him to rethink or revise how radical Eishim Shumchitzav is. Because once we acknowledge that the Parsha of Kiteitzei Eish in Mishpat, which it seems to be anyway, is about Nizke Mamon, and even the Eish part, let me say it this way. The Parsha Mishpatim includes Bor and Shor, Shane and Regal and Karen and so on. It's clear that that Parsha is a Parsha of Nizke Mamon. I mean, it's strange, according to Rabbi Yochanan, before we say this, or if we continue to say it, only Eish and the Parsha is Adam HaMazik. Adam HaMazik appears in a different Parsha. Right? But not in Mishpatim. So, maybe in Kedoshim, right? Maka Behema, Maka Adam, that's what the Rishonim suggest. Or maybe it doesn't need a Makar, the Rishonim and Abbas discuss it. Right? But once, certainly we acknowledge in Rabbi Yochanan that Eishim Mishum Mamono is a category, so we're certainly acknowledging that this is in the, that this is a din in this came up. And we're no longer saying Leispe Mashasha. So maybe what we're now saying is Eishim is not Chitzav in the sense of Adam HaMazik. It's Chitzav in the Parsha of Nizke Mamon. And this causes us to revise our view of Rava as well. Because fascinating, think how the Gemara went here. They have this whole daf, right? These mutually exclusive positions, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, right? Nafkaminas. And then in the end, the Gemara says, and by the way, Rava says, I have a raya from Psukim and Mishnayos for Rabbi Yochanan. Correct? And then all of a sudden the Gemara says, well, but what about Talmud? Right? And then a whole about faith. And then Rabbi Yochanan believes in both. Two things. Number one, Tosis's question on Chavesim and Aleph, why in the very beginning of the Sugya didn't they quote the Pasuk? That's Tosis's question. Tosis gives two answers. But even better, once I quote the Pasuk, how do you turn your back? Once you say, Eisho is Mishum Chitzav and Mishum Mamono, you know, it kind of dilutes a little bit, not completely, but a little bit. So I'm suggesting is that we now have a better reading of Rava, the Raya. Meaning, originally, and this is how I intentionally described it, originally we were saying, what's the Raya of Rava? Hitzchel HaKosuv B'Nizke Mamon, that's just technical, and that's misleading. But Siyem Rachmana HaMavir B'Nizke Gufo, and that's all this is. But now I think the really right way, in light of what the Gemara, possibly, what if the Gemara's transition, if it's a qualitative transition as well, in other words, not just that Rabbi Yochanan also believes in Eishim Mishum Mamon, but the fact that he believes in Eishim Mishum Mamon redefines how we look at Eishim Mishum Chitzav. We moderate it and view it within this Kemamon. If that's the pshat, so actually the pasuk is much better. Hitzkel akasav and Nizke Mamon, v'siyem akasav and Nizke Gufo. Because they're connected. But if that's true, then the nafkamina all become questionable now. Right? Because, and it's interesting in the Rambam itself, although I think the Rambam has a different take on this, but I'll just use it anyway for the moment. For example, the Rambam paskins that chitzav shol, we don't say chitzav shol cheresh, because bari azeka. The whole discussion, how's that consistent with paskining eshem shem chitzav? Well, the farshim say different things. They say, oh, there are really two sugyas, sugya here, there's a sugya later on, or earlier, the three sugyas, you know, one is Mishim Bar Yudkazeka, the other is, comparing it to Mamono. There are other ways out of it, but it's just interesting. And the Rambam used the expression Bar Yazeka. According to Avelvel, again, he doesn't use this explanation at all. He doesn't understand my transition, not for the Rambam, as I'll explain in a minute, and not, at least not in those pieces. But Avelvel does point out that in his opinion, Eshem Shem Chitzav doesn't work for Rotzeach. And his opinion doesn't even work for Kamlei B'Rabba Minei. We talked about this last week. I bet the Gemara seems pretty explicit about it here. Right? So what I would suggest is, originally the Gemara thought Eshem Shem Chitzav is really Adam HaMazik, and therefore it's also Adam HaRotzeach. It's Kochol Shel Adam, literally. And therefore it's Kamlei B'Rabba Minei. The maskana, maybe it's something a little bit less. The point is that there's still nafkaminas, it's still in the world, it's still on the border between Nizkei Mamon and Adam HaMazik. There's still a nafkamina for Chabala, but maybe some of these other nafkaminas are not anymore.
So why does Adam harm it? If it's not Adam, why
would it? Right, so I'm saying what I'm trying to suggest is that it's Chitzav Ayidei Mamono. And maybe that still, as opposed to Maisa Mamono, maybe that's the dividing line in Chabal. In other words, instead of Chabalah requiring Adam HaMazik, Chabalah requires that it shouldn't be Maisa Mamono, it should be Maisa Vayidei Mamono. That also suffices for Chabalah. Maybe. Oh. So the point is that would explain at least what happened in the Gemara. Why all of a sudden the Gemara is saying Rabbi Yochanan is more expansive, and then the Gemara is saying, so where the Nafkamina then? What do you mean where the Nafkamina? The answer is because if he's more expansive and it's another prod, then that doesn't have, then that's a good question. But if he's more expansive and we've revised how we understand Eshem Shem Chitzav, right? So then we either need more Nafkamina, or maybe Chovel is still there to teach us that all these other nafkamina are correct. Maybe that's what we're saying. Maybe what we're saying is, just because it's a Adam HaMazik built on Nizkei Mamon, or within Nizkei Mamon, right, you should know that it's still Chovel, and therefore maybe it's still Kamlei B'Rabba Minei, even though it might not still be Rotzeach. Okay. The point is, I'm not sure the parameters of it, because it's very unclear in the Gemara, but this is a second way to read the Gemara. This is a way to read the Gemara in which the Gemara's expansion of Rabbi Yochanan also causes us to redefine what Chitzav means.
The language sometimes hyphenates things. Is this a hyphenated
Mamono? That's what I'm going to get for the Rambam.
Okay.
The third way is the Rambam, which is very similar to what I just said, but is very specific to the Rambam. And that is the following. Again, if you look at the Rambam, this is what we was talking about last time. If you look at the Rambam in the end of Hilchos Nizkei Mamon, Perek Yedaled, this is from the first group of Marmakomos. No? Perek Yedaled, last one on the page, Halacha Tezva. Eishava v'zika sa'adam v'chavla, hari amavir chai ben ezakav, ubishivto, ubripuya, ubitzaro, ubiboshto, ki'ilu iziko biyada. Several things. Number one, the Rambam should have talked about Eshem Shem Chitzav in the beginning of the parak. He waits till the very last halacha that he could, the second last halacha in the parak. Second last halacha, as I mentioned, and all of this came up. Typically, the Rambam would have done, he would have defined Eish right at the beginning. Secondly, notice that he says ki'ilu haziku biyado, right? And then he repeats again sha'af al pi she'esha mishum amono. That's confusing. Ram paskan ze'esha mishum amono. Harehu kimi shehizik v'chitzav. So the harehu kimi shehizik v'chitzav, like the ki'ilu haziku biyado, is a less than enthusiastic or a less than acute description of Adam Amazik. It's the equivalent of Adam Amazik, right? Tantamount to Adam Amazik. But it isn't Adam Amazik. That's not Chitzav Shel Adam or Kocho Shel Adam. Contrast to the Rambam's, the way that he describes in Nochas Chovel, real Koach Adam, right? The Kicho, the Neo, Zorak, Chitzav. There's no Ki'ilos there. Okay. But what's fascinating is, if you read very carefully in the Rambam, right? He doesn't say what the Gemara seems to say, which is that Rabbi Yochanan says that there are two dinim. There's Eishem Mishim Amono and there's Eishem Mishim Chitzav. Right? And basically, never the twain shall meet, except that both exist. And since both exist, you know, you're going to have cases where one doesn't apply and the other does apply, and you're going to be chayiv, like, or potter, you know, or how's the case may be, Talmud Beish. That's a simple reading of the Gemara. But if you look at the words of the Rambam, she'afabi she'esho mamono hu, not she'esho gam mishum mamono, meaning all eish is mamono, harehu kemishi hizik b'chitzav. That's what I mean by the hyphenation. Now if you look at the Gra says this is a pshat also in the Rif. He noticed it, just I don't think he understood it exactly the way I understand it, but if you look at the Gra here on the side of the Gemara, on the bottom of the Gemara, he says, El Alaman, Nir Be'enai Arifa Rambam Mefarshim, Shechazar Miteiritz Rishon, Kagon Shenafla, I'll explain in a minute, Mefarshim Dechi of Chitzav, Hu Mishum Mamono. Not that there are two dinim, but the Chitzav is Mishum Mamono, which is exactly how we just read the Rambam. The Gra read the Rambam the way I'm reading the Rambam. And he wanted to explain with this Tomun. I'll explain in a minute. Ayin bira gra tafiut chesiv katan lamed gimel. It's a long piece. Okay? You have to look at it. It's a great piece. I'm going to tell you one thing that it says in just a second. What bothered him about Tomun and the Rambam? The following. This is the Rambam Perek Yudalad Halacha Ches. Look at line 18. Eishe yotza v'achla etzim o'avonim o'afar chai v'shalem. Fine. Shenera matza kotzim o'asadeh. If it ate up a bundle, vayu kelim tmunim betocha gadish, and there are kelim buried inside, im hayu kagon murgim ukli bakar kiyotze behem bedvarim shederach ben anshe sadal litmonosam begadish. If it's the kind of thing that people hide in a bundle, kli asadeh, that's not called tamun. Chayv l'shal. But hayu begadim ukli schuches, if it's clothing and jewelry or glassware or whatever, or $20 bills, right? Ukiyotz ben patra la kelim. Does the Rambam say anything here about kol lo chitzav? Nothing. Correct? So what's going on? The Rambam paskins in, this is halacha ches, this is before he even mentions eishem mishum chitzav. But he paskins eishem mishum chitzav. Right? Didn't the Gemara say that Tamun Be'esh you only find in Kol Lo Chitzav? So, if you look at the Magen Mishnah on the next page, he is troubled by this question. Line 5. Zem Mevur Beperiketz on a Regel, Beplukta Deri Upasa Karidam Reishim Mishim Chitzav. Line 6. Vani Tema, Achar Shupose Kari. That why didn't he make the distinction the Gemara makes? He should have said that whole very rare, almost never going to happen, I'm not trying to prejudice it, case. Right? The Ulai, says Mag Mishnah, this isn't an explanation, this is just a conclusion. Sherabenu mefarsha b'panim acheros. I guess he had some other pshat. He doesn't say what. The Efsher Shadaita Shein Laniach Pshat HaMishnayis Vabraisos Vamemros Shalochilko Betomim Pnei HaSugyai. I mean, he's got a point. Namely, if you read, if you read through the Mishnayis Bava Kama, or the Masechta Bava Kama, there are plenty of times where Tomun comes up in the sixth parak, right? And the only time the Gemara ever says that according to Rabbi Yochanan, who we paskin like, that it's this very rare case of kol lochitza v'hayol ligdor v'lo gadar, is here. So the Magen says, the Rambam apparently just was uncomfortable with that. He somehow felt that it's impossible, even if you hold Eshem Shemchitzav, it's impossible to conclude that Tomun just is not a factor. Okay, that's a phenomenon, that's a conclusion. How do you explain it? So what the Gra meant was basically what we're saying, which is the Rambam read the Gemara differently. The Gemara basically, according to the Rambam, is like this. El lamandam de islay chitzav, islay mishum mamono. He might not even have the girsa. But basically, if you read the Gemara the way the Rambam read it, right? Basically, the Gemara doesn't say there's eshem shem chitzav, there's eshem shem mamono. Right? When there's no chitzav, you'll be chayv shem mamono, and then you'll be chayv shem tam. According to the Rambam, there are no two dinim. Right? There's one din. And that is that chitzav is an extension of mamono. But once chitzav is an extension of mamono, and that means that you're pulling, and it's ki'ilu, it isn't actually chitzav, so then the question from Tamun is no longer a big problem. Either. Right? Because what was the problem for Tamun? If it's not a mamazik, is never the Petur Tamun. If I'm not a mamazik, but you don't have that problem if you hold Eshem Mishim Mamono. Again, if you still hold our two separate dinim, so every time Eshem Mishim Chitzav applies, it's still going to be out of mamazik. The only time you're ever going to get it is if you have Eshem Mishim Mamono in isolation, and that's that crazy case. But according to the Rambam, that's not the pshat. The Rambam is saying every Eshem Mishim Chitzav, you should know, issues from Eshem Mishim Mamono. And says the Rambam, it's the last parak of Nizkei Mamon and the last halacha practically in all of Nizkei Mamon, but here's where it belongs. Because it's only Ki'ilu. It's not Adam Amazik. It is Chayiv Chabala, that's true. That's a Chiddush. Maybe that's one of the reasons the Gemara had to tell you it. Because you wouldn't have known it otherwise, or maybe the others aren't completely true, or some combination thereof. Everything got shifted in this Maskana. But in the end of the day, this is a din in Nizkei Mamon. If it's a din in Nizkei Mamon, then this is a Petur Tamun. You no longer have the problem of Petur Tamun. The Gra's problem with Petur Tamun is a little bit different one. But again, it just fits in nicely. It's not exactly what I'm saying, but what is the Gra? The Gra says like this. The Gra's diuk is Petur Tamun be'esh, if you hold Eshem Shebchitzav, Tamun be'esh de Patur Achmana, Heichi Mishkachas La. So his diuk is, why is it Heichi Mishkachas La? Why does it say, how is such a thing legally conceivable? Some people will tell you that that's what Heichi Mishkachas La means. Okay? But the Gra says, no. Heichi Mishkachas La means, how can we find a Heichi Timtzi? I'm not so convinced of that, but I think it's fascinating. What do you mean, how can we find a Heichi Timtzi? Says the Gra the following. The Gra says, if you hold Eshem Mishim Chitzav, then there's another thing to consider. This is not Mukhra, but this is interesting. And that is, if you hold Eshem Mishim Chitzav, so there is a question of geography. Right? How do you locate this fire? Okay? I started the fire in my Sada, and it extended beyond my Sada to somebody else's Sada. Right? Alpidin. I lit the fire, in my backyard, or I lit the fire, in his barn. Says the Gra, if you hold Eshem Mishim Chitzav, the Pashtus, you also lit the fire in your backyard, but that's irrelevant. In addition to lighting the fire in your backyard, you lit the fire in his barn. So what? The answer is the Gemara says later on Samach Aleph Amud Beis. Mishnah says on Samach Aleph Amud Beis that there's a debate between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Hamadak Zagadish Vahibo Kelim Vidalko. Right? This is the argument. You lit up a bundle of tevua, and there were kelim inside. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishalei Masha Betocho. Rabbi Yehuda says there's no patur of Tom and Beish or Chayv. We don't pass him like Rabbi Yehuda. Chachamimim Reina Mishalei Mele Gedish Shochitin Ol Shel Saorit. I mean, it doesn't matter what's in it. It can be precious jewelry and you're only paying for Chitin. What's on the outside. Okay? Now look at the Gemara for a minute. Omer of Kahana Machlokes B'madwik B'toch Shalo V'holcha V'yochla B'toch Shol Chaveir. This debate is a debate when he starts a fire in his own property and it spreads to someone else's property. Deri Rabbi Yehuda Mechayiv and Iske Talmud Beish Rabbanan Patri of a Madlik B'toch Shol Chaveiro. But if you directly start a fire to begin with in your fellow's property, Divrei HaKol Mishalim Kol Masha B'tocho. This is the brilliant Gra. The Gra says, if you hold Eishim Shemchitzav, Talmud Beish Heichem Mishkachas Lav. Why? Because it's chitzav. It's not if it's mamono. So when did you light it? The second that you lit the yesh, when you actually hit the match or whatever it was betoch shalcha. But if it's chitzav, the whole idea is it's considered kocho. If it's considered kocho, so you lit the match, you know, you lit the fire in your backyard, and you it's like you're continuing to light the fire. You're the master of the fire, but you're burning down your backyard, and now you're burning down, you know, your neighbor's barn. So you're lighting up his farm. But if you're lighting up his farm, how's the Ptur Talmud Echem Mishkachasla? There's no Ptur Talmud when you're Madlik B'toch Shel Chaveiro. That's what Echem Mishkachasla means for the Gra. Isn't that amazing? I think it's amazing. I think the answer is that the Gra made the Siddiq as well in the Rambam. The answer is that's what we thought when we thought that it was completely Eishem Mishum Chitza. But in the transition of the Gemara, as the Rambam understands it, we're not saying there are two dinim, and therefore sometimes you have mamono as well. We're saying that Chitzav, right, issues from mamono. Ah, if Chitzav issues from Mishum mamono, then Tamun Mishkach Asla. Because it's, even though it's Chitzav, it's still only chitzav because it's mamono, and the mamono is betoch shalo. So I think it's very fascinating, by the way, just I'll interject now at this point, and that is the Nebuchadnezzar Yosef. Okay? So this very, very famous, I say, maybe the most famous Nebuchadnezzar Yosef of all time, probably is. You can see in the back of the Gemara if you want. And I also, I think, reproduced it here on the sheet in front of you. In the Gemara Mekavos for today. And that is, where is it? Somewhere. Let's see, where do we have it? Where is it? Yeah, Yud and Daf Yerid. Yeah, where is that?
10:24.
Page 10?
Line 24.
Oh, great. Yeah, exactly. So listen to this. This is the famous Mukiyos. Eisha Mishum Chitza. Ki ilu biyadav kiviro. As if he lit it with his own hands. Lit what? Lit the barn, right? Like the grow in a way, right? But except the Nebuchadnezzar Yosef is not interested in geography only, or primarily, right? The Gro is interested in geography. The Nebuchadnezzar Yosef is interested in time. Vikashalach. Im kein heichesharinan im chashecha lahadlik esaneros. How can he light candles Erev Shabbos, which right? Every Jewish home is supposed to light candles, right? How can you light candles close to dark? After all, the light continues to burn afterwards. V'hadlachas v'holachas v'nigmeres on Shabbos. V'chei machizin esa'or b'medura v'holachas v'nigmeres v'hadlachas v'shabbos. Or let's say, forget about lighting candles. You just light your fireplace or oven or whatever it is. Whatever you put it on, your stove, yeah. And you and the light continues to burn. But it continues to burn because of the initial act that you did. That's a shocking question. Like, so you know it's wrong. I mean, it has to be wrong. But, you know, why is it wrong? Right, it's one of those questions. You know, it's the Nuke Yosef asking the Minchas Chinuch question. Right? The Koshkein Hu. He's saying it's even, you know, the guy starts a fire in his backyard. He didn't mean to burn down his neighbor's produce. Right? It's Bali Kabana. Right? And nonetheless, we say it's as if he's standing there with a match. When it comes to Shabbos, right, he wants it to be burning on Shabbos. Shalom Bayis, and all the other benefits of having fire in the home, right? Vim kozet tanan, mishal shemis apesach l'tanur, imchashecha, machizin es ha'or b'medura speis ha'mokeid, umaisim b'chol yom, uktamaram. So this is a very shocking question, right? What's wrong with it? So the Mukhi Yosef's answer is pretty radical too. Ki na'ayin b'mil seshapir, lo kashala. Shaharei chiyuvo mishum chitzav kezorek hachetz shavishashi yata chetz mitachas yada boz hashanas hakol v'lo chashvina lei maisa. Right? Demikanu lahaba. Basically, this is a front-loaded action. It is chitzav, and therefore what's going to happen later is considered already at this moment. You're chayav for that. You're like the active burner of the barn, let's say. Right? But you didn't burn the barn, you know, let's say you lit the fire at 7 a.m. and the barn burned down at 12 p.m. Right? So really, al pidin, it's front-loaded. It's as if, in terms of collecting from insurance, you know, probably the real-time, you know, matters. But it's as if al pidin, when you burnt it down, when the second you lit the candle that had the ability, and there was the follow-up, and it burned it down. It's a front-loaded, as I call it, action, right? And it's as if you burnt it down right then and there. So when you light the Shabbos candles, you're lighting everything on Erev Shabbos, right? The nair that's burning on Shabbos or whatever is already, you know, omeid lios burning, you know, it's an Erev Shabbos dikka hadlaka. What? Yeah. Right? Icha shvina lei. Habla lemifter. One second. No. Shari chiva b'shem chitza kizorik achet shabashal shiyot achet mitachas yad of osa shah nasa. This isn't so obvious, by the way. This isn't so obvious at all, right? Now the gra, I think, is going to say something like that. I think it could be mechalik between the geography and the time. But either way, the gra is saying that's because it's mamona. Anyway, also, meaning, but for the rabbi. Anyways, the lo chashvina le maisa de mikano laba, di chashvina le havala le miftra de onesu. That I think is strange. Meaning, if it was a maisa mikano laba, then at that point you can't stop it. You should be considered an onus. Shem biyada lag zira. I mean, he puts it into effect knowing that it'll happen. Just because al pidin, right, it hasn't happened yet, doesn't mean that that's onus. I mean, onus should depend before al. On the capacity, right, when it's in his control, you know, and in a situation where he doesn't, where he's anticipated it to control it then. V'chanami, ilu meis kodem shehispik lahadlik hagadish, Bade mishtalem nizak mechrayis nechassim bidei. Let's say the guy dies, he lights a fire in his backyard, and by the time the fire burns down Shimon's barn, right, he's no longer alive. You're laughing at this poor man who didn't live to enjoy the conflagration of his neighbor. I've never... that's a display that of insensitivity.
Doing so much damage when you're dead.
What's that?
Doing so much damage when you're dead.
Right?
Right.
So anyways, he's saying you should be... he's saying, how come you're not putter for it? The answer is, because it's front-loaded. Right, but the truth is, obviously, you could explain that, you know, even if it isn't front-loaded completely, right? But again, onus and these kind of things depend on the, you know, capacity that, you know, that is there at the time when you do it. Okay. Dokari kan kitetse e shalem, shalem y shalem. Vamay mechayev, are meis, u meis la bar chiyuvo. Elav shma minod, elav kiman da'ad le kashta b'yadayim kashin alei. It's not as if he burnt it when it's actually burning. The truth, you could say the shas pshia is earlier and the shas hadlaka is later, right? But he doesn't think of that as true. The chen adin l'nyan Shabbos, the chiyatcha me'erv Shabbos atchil, the command the agmeri biyadayim, bahu idna delespe iser chashiv. The truth is, it's probably a very easy answer, and I think Achronim give it. And that is that in Hilchos Shabbos, right, in order to be chayiv, you have to do a kumbaseh before al kumbaseh. Even if al pidin, it's considered that you are burning this thing, you're still doing it b'shev al taaseh. You're not doing it b'kumbaseh. You're not doing it in a way that in Hilchos Shabbos you could be chayiv for. But the Mukhi Yosef doesn't go that way. Instead, because of this question, he assumes that Eshem Shulchitzav is completely front-loaded. The Gra is talking about a time, but again, it's a parallel kind of an issue. Parallel kind of an issue. Either way, the truth is that for the Rambam, right, the answer may just be simpler, and that is that Eshem Shulchitzav no longer means Adam HaMazik. Again, even if it did, not sure whether they have to go this far as either the Gra or the or the Nemukei Yosef, frankly. Certainly not in the Hilchos Shabbos part of it. But in the end of the day, for the Rambam, what we might be saying is that it's not Adam HaMazik at all. It's Adam Shemazik Al Yedei Mamono. And therefore, that's a completely different Hagdar. Okay. As I said, the Ran in the Darim, I'm sorry, the Ran in Sanhedrin, is of the opinion that there's no rotseach al yedei eshem shemchitzav. Question is, what does he do with the previous Gemara? So let me give the background of this very quickly. And that is the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, of Ayin Zayin Omer Aleph, talked a little bit about last week, says the following. Look on page
5.
Thank you. Gemara Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph says Amar Rava Kafaso Meis V'Ra'av. Hold on 1 second. Yeah, okay. There are a couple of Gemaras, actually. Yeah. The Gemara says, Kafasu meis v'ra'av. Right, you tie somebody up and therefore you can't get any food and he dies of starvation. He's potter. Not a good thing to do, obviously. But why is he potter? Because it's grama. It's gram ritzicha. But he doesn't actually kill him. He prevents him from eating. Right? Amarava kafasu bechama umeis. Right, betzina umeis, but if he ties him up in the heat or in the cold, then he's chayav. Because sof chamalava, sof tzina lavo, Right. I'm sorry. Sof chamalavo, sof tzinalavo. If the sun and the cold are not present, but they're coming in, the meteorologist says, you know, that in 2 hours is going to be a freezing front or a sun stroke, a kind of a sun, right? But it hasn't hit yet, right? That is patur. Amar Rava, kafasa lufnei ari patur. He ties him up, and there's a lion in the vicinity. That's also grama. Lufnei yitushin, mosquitoes or poisonous bugs, I guess, chay. Ravashim afi lufnei yitushin ami patur hani azli hani osu. I said the same bugs. Bugs are a swarm. Interesting things. Very fascinating. Gemaras and Rishon. Okay. That's one Gemara. Then there's another Gemara. Look at the bottom of the page. Number 31. The Gemara on the next page. The Gemara says, Umra papa hayman de kafte lechabre. Person tied up some friend. Ties a person. The ashkel ale bidke demaya. And then he lets loose on him the full force of the the water. In other words, he removes a dam or something, and gire didei hu mechai. That's considered like gire didei. Gire means also chitzav, and he's chai. Hani mili b'koch rishon. There's a big debate what koch rishon here means. Avo b'koch sheni grama bialma. It depends how directly. Does it depend on the distance, or it depends on whether there is more than one, you know, force or obstacle or barrier, whatever it is. There are some important decisions. A very, very important Gemara in Sanhedrin, as you can see, about Torzeach and Grama, you know, B'shev Altase, etc. Then the Gemara says, Amar Papa Zarak Tzror Lamala. If you throw up a stone, up high, V'hochal Etzdadim, and it doesn't come directly down. It goes a little bit to the side, and it lands Baharga and it kills someone. Chai. Amalei mar baravashir or papa, my time, mishim de kochahu. Why? You're chayev because it's considered to be koach adam, even though it damaged, even though it killed on the way down. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, he kocho tezel el. Then it should, if it was really kocho, then how did it come down? What's really kocho is the force that he, you know, invests in it on its way up. Says the Gemara, "V'lav kochohu tezol tachas ela koach kochushu." So the Gemara says, "Yeah, that's true. On the other hand, if it was not kocho, if it was just gravity, let's say, this is the word gravity for now, then it should have come straight down. Why did it come?" He threw it up, you know, he's standing here, and it came down over there. So you see, it's koach kochush. Right? It's not a koach gomor, but it's a koach kochush. Meaning he threw it up, and by throwing it up, or whatever energy he put into it, you know, also, you know, changed its trajectory. And therefore, even though damaged on the way down, murdered on the way down, right, the fact that it didn't come down in the same place that it went up, that's called koach kochush. That's enough to get him a murder conviction. That's a Gemara. Okay. Says Bali Tosis. Look at Tosis here. Number 6. Sof Chamalavo. The Lo Rabbi Rachmana Mitzamtze No B'Mokum Shehit Kabo Hezek Kva. Okay. You only chayv for Mitzamtze. I mean, you only chayv when the conditions that will kill are already present. Right, and you basically contain him in a way that he can't move. Miu im kafaso bifnim, right? Vehevu b'makom shesof chamalava v'sof tzinalava near the chayiv l'mando amreshim shemchitza. Ah, says Tosas. However, what will be in the following case? We had this. I mentioned this Tosas last week. I read a parallel Tosas on Nun Vav Amud Aleph. Where Tosa says, the Gemara there talks about kofef kamaso shalchaber b'fnei adleika. You have a fire, and you move your neighbor's property, you move it in such a way that now it's going to be in the line of the fire. Right, so Tosa points out, you see from there, that if you, not just when you manipulate the mazik, but even if you manipulate the cheftish al mezek so that it will be vulnerable to the mazik, that's also an act of hesed. So Tosa says the same thing. Let's say, we know now that if you're mitzamtzem, if like the sun has the ability to kill, and you contain someone, b'makom, it's going to happen, you're chayav. On the other hand, if you contain him in a place where the sun in 2 hours is going to reach that pitch, you're potter. What about a situation where you took a guy and you moved him closer to the place, and that's where he is now, the sun will come in 4 hours, you moved him 2 hours closer, but he's still 2 hours away. What happens then? Says the Gemara, says Tosfos, umiyum kafaso bifnim, you tied him up, and eviu b'makom shesof chamalavo v'sof tzinalavo near the chai. This is according to the man d'amar, eishem shemchitzav. Ah. And then he adds, listen to this, dil indian misa nami mechayvinam be'eishem shemchitzav. Because you chayv misa for eishem shemchitzav. What? Eishem shemchitzav, that's a mazik idea. Who said you chayv misa for that? The answer is kidemuchach beperiketz in a regel. The Gemara that we were talking about, that Rashi and that Tosas in Bava Kamma, unlike the Griz, say is a case of kam levidraba mine. Right? Al yidei chitzav, you killed an eved, and your potter mimam. The Gemara doesn't call it kam levidraba mine, but Rashi and Tosas, and simple reading of the Gemara is that it's kam levidraba mine. That's what Tosas in Bava Kamma, again, later on Nun Vav, and Tosas and Sanhedrin, Ayin, Zayin, and Aleph, that's what they're quoting to prove that Eishem Shemchitza applies even to Rotzeh. Now again, it's still a Chiddush, because you could say the Ptur of Kamalei B'drabba Minei could apply. It doesn't mean the Chiyuv Rotzeach would apply. Although, certainly, they're connected. Chiddush. And then he adds, V'ein chiluk ben makarav ha'esh etzol davar le'makarav ha'davar etzol ha'esh. There's no difference whether you bring the mazik to him or him to the mazik. That's kidemuchach b'reish ha'kones. I mean, that's the case of kofef komaso shochaveira b'fnei adleka. The parachima tenehele v'ruach mitzuya. The Gemara there says, but if a ruach mitzuya will now bring the fire to the komaso shochaveira, then b'dini adam nama l'chayev. What about the when he let the force of the water, he took away the dam and so on. Ishkel Potter, the Dami Lizarik Chet, a Tris Biyado, Afilu Kinevisilka Potter. Okay, I mean, I don't want to get to all the cases, very fascinating cases, like the case also in Bava Kamma, right? The guy throws a chait, at the time there's a shield, then the other guy takes, or he himself takes away the shield, so that the arrow now is unimpeded, and it, that's right, that's potter, that's a grum. Okay, Bin Tomar, okay, let's skip Bin Tomar. Go to, here's where it gets very interesting. Miyukasha, this is on line 13. Everybody have it? Miyukasha, ahid azarek tzor lamala, the besamuch, the second Gemara that I read. The guy throws a stone up in the air. The mashma, the ilo azal etzadin, letachas. The Gemara seemed to say that if it came straight down, he threw it straight up and it came straight down. Didn't go to the sides. No trajectory. It would be potter. Amai. Why is that potter? L'chayev, he should be chayev, midid ha'abab anosakino masal shenicham brosh gago, v'nafla beruach mitzuya, l'chayev mishumesho. Why is that different than he puts an object in a place where the regular wind is going to carry it as a projectile and it's going to do damage or kill somebody? The Gemara says ibahadu de'ozli kamazki kidisa b'avakam avav medalef, that that's chayv mishemesh, that's eishem shemchitzav, right? So if that's the case, what's the difference between the ruach mitzuya, which carries avano sakino maso, and the gravity which brings down the Evan that he threw in the air. Either way, it's a combination of his action, right, integrated with the natural force. Right? It says, V'shena ina motzui kan shatipo letachas mamish v'lotezo klal letzadim. Maybe it's very rare that it should come straight down. Mi'uzev adei kasha, demashim letzadim nami lo mechai v'lem shim kocho, deparchi kocho hu tezo le'el, that can't be, because in the end of the day, the Gemara says the only reason you're chayiv if it goes l'tzadin is because koach kachosh. Sounds like if it wasn't koach kachosh, it was just the gravity, and the gravity would not be enough to make you chayiv, right? That's what it sounds like in the Gemara. But Tzar Chalomar says Tosas, the hainu l'man damar eshu v'shu mamono. Wow. Very bedocha. Tosos thinks this is a really good question. Gravity should be the equivalent of Ruach Mitzuya. And if it's not, it's got to be because the Gemara is Aliba Deman Damar, Eshem Vishim Mamono, not Eshem Vishim Chitza. He's willing to put the Gemara Alishalo Aliba De Hilchasa. And the Gemara says nothing about it one way or another. Because otherwise, this doesn't understand the case. It's Tzar Chalomar, Dehainu Leman Damar, Eshem Vishim Mamono. And then he adds, V'hod Etzan Beperik Beis Techulin. Nafal sakin miyado, a sakin falls out of his hand. Okay? The shachat, and does a perfect shkita. Shkitasa psula. Doesn't work. V'diyek, Gemara says, tama, the nafla. That's because it fell out of his hand. Oh, he pila. If he had, you know, with perfect aim, then kshera. Kiman Krab Nasan, says the Gemara, Dlaboy Kavana, right? Says Tosis, Kasha. Nafla Nami Lahav Akihi Pila Laman Damar, Eshim Shim Chitzav. What's wrong with Nafla? How does Nafla work? Gravity. So that's like Ruach Mitzuya, right? As long as he's a good aim. I mean, we're talking about the Shkita was done properly. No treifas. Okay? Maybe Shechita Eshem Shem Chitza doesn't work. What's going on in this Tosas? Why I want you to see it. Tosas starts off by proving from our Gemara and Chabes and Medbeis that Eshem Shem, again, the main argument of Eshem Shem Chitza on the Gemara is about Mazik. Right? But on Chabes and Medbeis, the Gemara seems to apply to Kamei Rabbaminei. Revelvel denies it. Tosis is saying if it applies to Kamei Bidrava Mine, it applies to Rotzeach. If it applies to Rotzeach, then why doesn't gravity make you into a murderer? Must be because it's Eshem Mishim Amon. But then Tosis would say Lahalaka, it would. Right? Then Tosis says, and what about Shechita with gravity? That should work too. Unless you say that Eshem Mishim Chitzav works for Rotzeach, but it doesn't work for Shechita. Okay? If Misa works, Shechita doesn't work. Okay? Then he goes on, I'm not going to continue with this part of it for the moment. This is a very radical Tosis. Tosis says all these Gemaras, the Gemara about Shechita, the Gemara about Rotzeach, they're all shalom libet hilchasa, because implicitly they're according to the mandamar eshem shem amono, and we pass in eshem shem chitzav. Tosis says Shulchan Aruch should say that the shechita works and the ira rotzeach. Amazing. The Ran didn't like it. Look at the Ran for a minute. This is on page 8. A very, very famous Ran. Two answers in the Ran. Line 2. Zara Kadur, everybody have it? Page 8. Zara Kadur Bakotel. The Chazra La Chorav. The Hargo Chay. The person throws also a case in the Gemara there. He throws a ball against a wall and it rebounds back and kills somebody. Right, that's called kocho nischayev. The first of the come on time and mishum to be the kai gavna kochohu. Right, even though it's right, even though it ricochets back or rebounds back. Right, v'zorak tzor lamala. What about throwing the stone upward? But if it went straight down, that would be considered not kocho and it'd be potter. If it came straight down with the gravity, the upward pull is what brought it down, gravity. But lamalo tehiya ha'aliyah hazos kimadlaka esh besadeu, should be like lighting a fire. V'achakach ba ruach mitzuya, the gravity is like the ruach mitzuya. D'chayiv l'manom reshem shemchitza. V'achi kaimalon, we paskin that way. Shafal b'sheina esh alechas b'kocho, klal. Machashu madlika b'mokom ruach mitzuya, roa noso kilu hu atzmo asa'a. Interesting language, as if he made it. Actually, it doesn't say it's as if he burnt it. He just said as if he made it. The Chinami told the Eish Avonas Akina Maso Sheneich Rosh Kago V'Nofle Baruch Mitzuyev Ziku Dachayim Eich Lo Teazrika, throwing it up in the Shazarik Lamala Avon Bishiyod Melim. Even if it went down on its own, why isn't that like Avonas Akina Maso Sheneich Rosh Kago V'Nofle Dachayim? The Tirtzu Bazeh the Ein Chiyuv Nezikin Ella bekoach ubepoal, lo bemeshanasa. Listen to this. In order to be chayiv mazik, you need an action, not a dover demimela. The ruach mitzuya poelasi. Right, the wind integrates into your action and is considered to be the wind. You know, moves the object, and therefore you join with the wind. It's not considered an action. Again, it's an interesting perspective. It's because of the mass. Right? It's not like, oh, there's something called gravity pulls it down. There's no gravity. There is gravity. But gravity is just an expression, like a very sophisticated view of the mass. It's the mass of the object that pulls it down. The object, you know, brings itself down. Not the force of gravity. Not gravity is an independent object. Independent force. The afim arogu bi ridaso lo nasa ze befoal ele kovet ha'even u shehizik me'elav. Again, you could argue about it from a physics point of view. Although I think Yeshtarim Begon, both sides of it are probably true in some respect. But either way, it's a very sophisticated view. The Chen Kosov of Rab David, B'Shem Rabosa, Balitosis. This is the view of Rab David Bonfil. Vani Omer, the Ran says differently. The Ikar Terutza Lesa Shama. Emelesa, sorry. He said, I don't think it's right. Shema Shem Omer, Shem Chiyuv Shon Azikin, Al Bekocha Befoal, Lo Bemash Anasa Nimela. Avon Ritzruach Mitzuya, he poeles, Verono, Sakilu, Bekoacha Adam, Avala Yerida Lamata, Imba Poel, Klala, Lamachmas Kaveda, Dimke Manda Kafta, Lachavri, Lefneria, my potter. So when you tie somebody up in the presence, and the Ari is good if he's right there, right? Why potter? Ha Isa, Ha Ari, Ha Poel, Ha Ochel Adam, Kamar Ruach Mitzuya, Malava Haish, the Chitamid Lodami Adad, the Ari Adaita, the Nav Shekoachal, the lion has his own mind. That's part of nature. The kimchi b'teva rono so kilu he poel hamavir ha'esh. Imkain yosri b'teva tznuas ha'evin alamata. He says, if I had to pick which one was more natural, that's not really the point of Rav David Bonfil. He's not arguing that it isn't natural and that you can't rely on it. He's saying it's so natural that it's not a force, it's a function. It's a property of the mass of the object itself. The cheftza, you know, the weapon is the kills. Or the weapon doesn't kill. Basically the weapon kills. Okay. Lefisha b'chol eis, I don't mean like the NRA and the, you know, but the people who kills and, or the guns kill, you know. I don't want to get into that. But maybe another time. But he's saying it's more like, oh, you mean it's you know, the Ari, you know, he has a mind of his own. Right? So, yeah, so he said from that point of view, the gravity, you know, is more reliable. Right? He's seeing gravity as a force. Yosar hibateva tinuasa evan alamata, shabakal eis miha itim at all times, tereid lamata, acharshush chalamala. That's like, you know, there are no exceptions to that rule. Baharbi's money miyesh shem minashiv shumruach, afil mitzuya. This is a fascinating discussion, right? The wind, you know, is depends on what the weatherman, you know, says. That's all. They control it. I'm joking. But, you know, but the wind is unpredictable. The kivin shekain yosa roi shenomar shetia tnuas ha'evan lamata pola adam, because he's talking about integrating it. How integratable is it? How predictable is it? How anticipatable is it? The answer is gravity, you know, much more so than any wind. That's not what David Bonfil was saying. What David Bonfil was arguing, that gravity is not an independent factor force. It's something which is a, you know, it's just a way of describing how the mass, you know, mimela comes down.
Isn't he negating the whole concept of ches?
What?
He's negating the whole concept of
no,
because you shoot an arrow up, it goes distance, but it comes down because of
gravity. Right, but that's like stud. That's like kachosh. That's like kachosh. That's like gravity. I mean, the gravity's mixed into it, but it's not only gravity. No, but I'm saying, but where it ends up is certainly a function of koach adam. The Gemara even says that when you throw it up, if it goes down, let's stud in, that's chiyachaya for that. That's no question. The question is if it's purely the gravity. Yeah, if it's only function.
That's Tosos' question, basically. Why is it kind of stud in and not coming straight?
Right. So Tosos said, Tosos didn't have an answer. Tosos didn't have an answer, so Tosos said it's Siman Dom Reisha of Shimamona.
It's like a very strong question.
It is. I'm saying the Ram thinks it's a strong question too, but he doesn't want to give the answer of Eshem Shimamono. Right. So David Bonfield gave the answer of saying gravity, with respect to being a pu'ula, is less than Ruach Mitzvah. And now the Ram doesn't like this answer, so we have to see what he's going to come up with. Ki hu po'ala b'hishtecho salamala yosem b'tnuas haruach ha'mitzuya ha'nasa b'lishem pu'ala fikach enio, but he has to give an answer. She'ein damos niskemam l'rotzeach. He says, who says Eishem Shemchitza works for Rotzeach? L'inyan chiv misa, mishun d'rotzeach akil rachmona gabei, d'lo osa b'ashon kemeze v'onus karotza. In Mazik, where we have Adamud Li'olam, it's a very expansive idea. V'kim v'shakein, b'inan shi'asa po'el mamish, but Rotzeach needs a maisa gomor, Eishem Shemchitza, not Rotzeach. This is a big question, the relationship between Mazik and Chovel and Rotzeach. Very mixed evidence, but not for now. Etc. There's only one problem. What does he do? Tosus knew this possibility. No. Tosus knew this possibility, but Tosus said it's against the Gemara Bava Kama. Because the Gemara was applying Kam Levit Rabamine.
Right, he's assuming there's not going to be this whole Maskana.
Exactly. So there are two things, I think, three things you could say, to be fair. Number one, points are available, the Gemara is not Midin, even Kam Levit Rabamine. But that's a very Mechudash. Very hard to read the Gemara that way. What has he done with the Gedish and the Gedi? I don't know. Fine. Number two, one could perhaps distinguish between Rotzeach and Kam Levit Rabamine. Right? And number three, maybe that doesn't make the final cut of the Maskana. That's what I was saying before. Because the Gemara says, L'may Nafkamina, what happened to the other Nafkaminas? Right? And I'll add, so why was it in the Mahamina, not in the Maskana? I'm not saying there's a pshat in the Ram, but I'm saying the Ram will work out this way. Or for a Velvel Rambam, if he thinks of this way. I mean, what happened between the Havamina? Certainly it sounds like the Havamina, they thought that Rotzeach was included in Eishem Shemchitza, right? The answer is, according to me, according to either the Rambam way or the The one right before it, what I'm saying is, once the Gemara introduced that Rabbi Yochanan is not mutually exclusive, on some level, perhaps what the Gemara is saying is, it's not Adam Amazik. It's not Chitz of Mamish. It's the Chitz of this Kemamo. Originally, we thought Rabbi Yochanan rejects Reish Lakish. Right? And therefore, Eish is a subcategory of Adam. And it's really Kocho. And even I know the difference between Chitzav and Eish, Al Pidin it's the same. And if that's the case, then maybe it applies also to Rotzeach. And maybe it would apply also to Shechita. Some of the Rishonim discuss the pressure of Netil Sedayim, and maybe Shabbos. Maybe all those Hagdaros of Maisa HaAdam or Koach HaAdam, if you really hold Eishim Shem Chitzav literally, not Ki'ilu, and not Chitzav Hanovea Mimamon, and not Chitzav which is coexistent with Mamon, but real Chitzav Adam Amazik, then all these things might maybe apply. Even then maybe you can make some distinctions. But once the Gemara turned around and said there is Tomun and Eish, even Chitzav, and once the Gemara said, let's find another nafkamina, or even though we're moderating it, it still has some properties of Chitzav, so then you can wonder whether or not all the things that we said before are still intact. At least on the Rotzeach level part of it. Maybe there's Kamei Drava Mineh, but not Rotzeach. Maybe there's not even Kamei Drava Mineh. That would explain the Ran. It would explain this for now. Okay, so what I want to do next week, we don't have a shiur. We're going to stop now. But I want to finish. I just made one more on this. We have all these marmakomos. I want to discuss a little more about Shabbos. Eishem Shem Chitzav in Shabbos. I want to talk about Sakino Masal a little bit, whether the Tolda of Eishem Shem Chitzav is really Shem Chitzav. I mentioned the Ra'ah, but I want to talk a little about Bagrama and about, again, Malachim Sheves and Shabbos in particular. Okay, so we'll try to finish this off in 2 weeks.